Good morning, everyone. We are continuing with the series, The Seven Dimensions of the Mind. Our latest book by Gurudeva. And today we are at the point of the fourth dimension, part two. The fourth dimension is the home base for the Yoni. He never moves further out in consciousness than the fourth dimension, never becomes attached or identified with thought, emotion, or even the multitudinous forms of superconsciousness. Isn't that a great phrase? Multitudinous forms of superconsciousness. So what strikes me on that sentence is never moves further out. In other words, it's not a question of up and down, it's a question of in and out. So Gurudeva preferred in and out versus up and down as a way of looking at moving from various levels of the dimensions. He is the watcher, and his awareness is centered, hovering like a hummingbird, governing the flow of the externalities of life while resting in the peace and enlightenment of its own being. From his established silent center, he looks at and into every aspect of the interrelated states of mind, the interrelated states of the nerve system as seen by the fourth dimension. His awareness remains basically within the fourth dimension and does not have to flow out into the third or second, because the visionary powers and faculty of inner sight already sees out through the third and second dimensions, acts and governs those dimensions, as well as the personality effectively from the fourth without ever leaving it. From this vantage point, we can view the building of emotional involvements within the third dimension, observing the workings of the emotional and intellectual units of ourselves and others. From this detachment, we gain the ability to dissolve confusions, conflicts, and the various and varied entanglements that are encountered daily. And if they are merely seen, that in itself is the necessary elucidation, for congestion cannot exist when perceived with clarity. Also, from the fourth dimension, we have the choice as to the kinds of third dimensional creations we involve awareness in. We see precisely the path ahead and are able to avoid undesirable areas and karmic sidetracks. Thus, by clearing congestion at the time it is generated without letting it settle and in a sense harden in subconscious memory cells, and by holding the overview as to the optimum course of action based on a cognition of past and future, awareness is kept free-flowing in the spiritual intensity of now. Living here, he is peaceful, alive, and balanced. Consciousness never sleeps. Mystics leave their physical body at night in a state of sleep and go into the fourth dimension in consciousness and continue a very lively mental life, teaching and being taught within the recesses of this and deeper dimensions. This is especially true if they practice the conscious withdrawal of awareness from the body and from the vibratory patterns of the day just before they go to sleep. Around 2 o'clock each morning, when the inner plane schools take place and students gather in the fourth dimension, if I'm awake, I can close my eyes and they inwardly appear in my mind. I can identify many of them one after another. Even devotees whom I haven't thought of in 8 or 9 years still attend inwardly. There they are in a body that looks like a mannequin made out of clear plastic. It's not a fleshy body, it's a light body that glows of itself. I can see all of their features as one appears and then disappears, so the next one comes forward. So they come right into the mind, come to learn of the within, the inner worlds. The fourth dimension, then, is the sub-superconscious faculty of man. The dual identities of the subconscious and conscious mind are harmonized, and we experience a clearing that allows the superconscious mind to flow through it. We call this spiritual awakening, for consciousness at that point is no longer bound, but free to flow with newfound facility into any and all areas. The fourth dimension doesn't interact much with the first. It looks into the third and second, and inwardly into the fifth. When these dimensions are experienced simultaneously from the fourth, it is similar to standing in an open doorway, looking out into a small room, and in into a vast fifth-dimensional room. That's the fourth dimension of the mind, a wonderful place to live and to bring through inner unfoldment for you, and then have the continuity of creative thought. In Christian thinking, it is the state of the soul. From the fourth dimension, you can see the panorama of life unfolding flawlessly day to day. You can look deeply into the subconscious, cognize and understand the chemistry of feeling, thought, and reaction. You can look into the magnetic force fields of the third dimension and comprehend the processes by which different people relate to one another. The fourth dimension does not preclude intellectual activity, but it does mean that you have an intelligent intellect, a creative intellect that is not caged in by conceptual walls, a humble intellect that is willing to say, "I don't know," now and then, instead of pretending to know beyond its own territory. A selfless intellect that prefers to use its abilities for the benefit of mankind and not in the service of personal ego building. The fourth dimension is already well known by everyone on the path. Otherwise, they would not even know that there is a path to be on. It does not take years of difficult practice to break into and experience it. It's very simple. There's no practice involved. This was done while we were evolving. That was the practice. The many lies of evolution, that was the rehearsal. Now we can enjoy it. From the fourth dimension, simultaneously has here and now consciousness and is able to perceive a scope of 9 days at once. Whereas from the third dimension, one sees basically the pattern of the current day, and from the second, a span of only a few minutes or hours. This 9-day time period looks from now into the past and ahead to the future, approximately 4.5 days, or 108 hours, in both directions. This is the reason that we can make accurate and valid judgments from the discriminating consciousness of the fourth dimension. For it sees the totality of intermingled past actions and future effects from a mountaintop perspective. It is easier to maintain the overview of the fourth dimension as it looks into and through the second and third if we practice containing awareness within the boundaries of the 9-day period. Not speaking or thinking unnecessarily about events or experiences that are more than 4.5 days in the past or 4.5 days in the future. Awareness can then concentrate on current happenings, bringing the aspirant into the intuitively inspired consciousness of being here and now, not there and then, or even where and when. In other words, when it comes to past and future, we only go there to do something useful. We don't just wander off into the future in a state of worry or wander off into the past in a state of memory. If we go there, we're going there through a deliberate decision because we need to use that information in the present moment. The ectonotic body we refer to is a body of light. It is also called the astral body. It is not a highly spiritual body. It is just a duplicate of the physical body and exists inside of the physical body in the third dimension plane. The astral plane is an exact duplicate of this plane, but when you are looking into it from the fourth dimension, you see what is going to happen 3 or 4 days ahead of time. You are actually seeing events happening on the astral plane that will take place 3 or 4 days from now on this plane. Physical plane creations happen first on the astral plane, which is always 72 hours ahead of this plane. When in the fourth dimension, you are out of the time-space continuum as we generally know it. It's all there. You don't travel in the fourth dimension, you're there. Things just appear. The fourth dimension does not always remain the same. Consciousness within it changes the flow of currents that run through that dimension, just as they do in the third. However, the patterns within the fourth are fairly well set, more regimented, so to speak, whereas third dimensional patterns fluctuate and change. Consciousness then takes a different perspective or a different way of looking at it. The fourth dimension merges into the fifth, and at that point it is really impossible to distinguish the two. But the fourth flows and functions through the subconscious faculties and can therefore observe the third. The fifth dimension cannot. That is the reason the fourth dimension encompasses the sub-superconscious intuitive realm of consciousness. The fifth dimension doesn't contact the third, it cuts right through it. Next we get our story. This is a Deva writing from Gurudeva explaining about the astral plane being 72 hours ahead of the physical plane, the point that was made in the text we just read. Where we function, we refers to the Devas, close to the earth, able to see physical things, we are always 3 days or 72 hours ahead of current experiential patterns that you go through. In other words, what you are going through today in the conscious mind, we have already been going through with you for 3 days in our time cycle. This is one of the reasons we insist that all monastics be current in their discharging their duties and responsibilities, no more behind in their daily work and goals than 3 days or 72 hours. When we are in constant touch with you, 72 hours before an experience happens to you in the conscious mind, we are preparing you for it. Therefore, for a sublime monastery, not too many events should occur simultaneously. If a monk were to present the teachings, he should know that he's going to do this 3 days before it actually occurs. In this inner mind of form where we live, just like you do in the outer mind of form, we then begin working with him as well as those attending this session. And for 72 hours Earth time, this group has started the process of learning. It only culminates during the 3-hour vigil that the monk holds. Therefore, a group of students should not have a session as a group in inner teachings more often than every 72 hours. This keeps them in a constant state of inner and outer learning. The monk should know who the group is, each one, and the group should know who the monk is, 3 days before the session occurs. This happens in all things. We are always ahead of your time by 3 days. Therefore, through prayer, that is, talking it over with us in a way that we can hear, we can work together with your inner mind to make continual adjustments within your future, which is 3 days ahead for you, but which occurs within our present. One of the ways we utilize this principle is reminding everyone, if you're going to have a prayer burned and you're asking the devas for help in specific events, you need to give them at least 72 hours notice. You don't want to say, I'm going in for an operation tomorrow, please bless me. You didn't give your 72 hours notice, so you need to plan ahead in your prayers to the devas when it relates to an actual physical event. All of you monastics will have to do quite a bit of meditation in order to understand this concept of time, When you perform a meditation on this particular subject, place three flowers in front of you, all pointing inward with the stems pointing out. This will be a sign to us, and one of the childlike devas will come running telling us such a meditation is going on, and we will assist in your understanding. Flowers glow, similar to the vibhuti, as I previously described within our plane. They have a yellow glow and a pink glow. Fluorescent-like radiations occur, as does the perfume of cut fruit glow and rise into our atmosphere like a vapor, beautiful to behold. We can, from where we are, take the prana from flowers or cut fruit and reflect it back into your auras, giving them a nice polished straightening of congestions here and there. Your Guruji has taught you the nature of BC, living in the now. This is a deeper explanation of what he was preparing you for by this practice. Here we get a couple of Shum words. Remche Nali, the fourth chakra, named Anahata in Sanskrit. 2, attribute, direct cognition. 3, located at the heart. 4, this chakra is the resting place. 5, color, smoky green, planet, Jupiter, element, air, sense, touch, petals, 12, Panchakshara mantra letter, va. 6, the breathing is normal. When we use this chakra in meditation, breathing is normal, but on the in-breath, allow the prana to go down, and on the out-breath, lift the prana into Bhivumbika. So then you break it down. We have Remche Nali as 4 images. We have Che Nali, physical touch or feeling. And then Nali is the air element, clean, cool mountain air. So we have air, touch, and the chakra are all related in the same Shum word. Wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya.